It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the protein show today. We got the master of meat, Tim Sobey, joining us in the studio, as well as Chaz is sitting in. Barbecue Bob's still out on sabbatical. So we've got the A-plus team here. So looking forward to a great day. But I'm Jop. What's going on, Chaz?
Hey, man. It's been a great week, man. We had that Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
I got two grilling events in. And another good feed, so, hey, I was happy about it.
Yep. Tim, welcome to the show. You're taking a drink. I caught you right in the middle of that, so I'll just keep yakking for a second.
That's right. Just a little dipsy doodle first thing for an eye opener.
Right, yep. Got to break the crust away. But how was your Memorial Day?
Ours was really good. Got up, got some grilling in and some family time. We had a new granddaughter, so that was just her second voyage up to camp.
Okay.
That was good, yeah.
Nice. How many grandchildren you got now?
That makes 9.
Wow. You're prolific.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Kids are like their mom.
Yeah, are they? Yeah. Yeah, it's all multiples of 3, right?
Yeah.
3 and 3, yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we're just going to run up and down the meat market today. If you are a first-time listener, Mr. Sobey's been with us since our inception, and it's been a glorious partnership because this is the master of meat. He knows everything there is, and that's the primary item on my grill pretty much every time that I go out there. I'll throw some vegetables on just to make it look different, but it's always about the protein, right?
Absolutely.
What are you thinking, Chad?
A little green, a little yellow, just color, you know.
Right, yeah, yep, yeah. Make you feel good about yourself so that can tell a doc, I eat vegetables, sure, yeah. Speaking of which, looks like Tim brought 3 bags of smoked meat here. I got some jerkies and some sausages. We'll get into those, too, a little bit later. But so what did you grill for Memorial Day, Chad?
I did the ribs.
Okay. How'd they turn out?
Delightful.
Yeah.
I mean, Conrad would have been drooling all over the place. I hope that he got the ones he was bragging about. But
well, I don't know. How'd Mrs. Conrad do with that, I'm wondering? That's the real question, right? But I stole his microphone today, so we can talk about him, but he can't talk back. So.
Yeah, I just got a rack out, and I started him early in the morning. Put about 3 hours of smoke on him, and then I wrapped him. Put a little applesauce on him.
Oh, now there's a little tip right there.
You know, I had done the dry rub to start, and then applesauce when I wrap them, and seal them up real good, and then, you know, give them about another hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, till the probe tells you it's time to pull them.
Yep.
And right there at about, you know, 140, okay, I'll pull them off, and I pop them in a cooler that I've preheated.
Okay.
Because you don't want to cool them back off.
Right.
You want to just hold them and let them rest.
Okay.
And let them rest. And another hour, now set the plates, get everything ready to go, pull those babies out, peel them out, and, oh, they just slice so easy. And then when you tug on them, the meat just comes clean to the bone. The dog looks like he's
right, being starved, done his job, you know? Already, right? Yeah. So
I feel like the dog, I'm just listening to that.
Yeah. So 140, that's a good tip. I told you that I did a Mother's Day. I made a mess of some ribs because I cooked them to about 165. Where do you put that probe in ribs? I bet people are like, how do you get a probe into ribs?
I go right down between two of the bones on the thick side.
Okay.
And I'll just slide it about halfway in. It'll register.
Yep.
And I've got one of the probes that goes to a remote screen.
Yep.
So I can leave it in there and watch it.
Right.
And it actually has a remote control I can keep with me as I go fussing about.
Right.
And I set an alarm at the temp I want. So at about 138, the alarm goes off. Now it's out, you know, checking it real,
right,
watching it, and then you open the lid.
Right. Were you in a smoker or were you on a grill?
I was on my combo,
okay,
my Big Weber combo. So
okay.
I had laid down some applewood smoke to start.
Okay.
And then I decided the applesauce was going to be just a round out, smooth it out. Don't want them too harsh. Want them real super juicy and stuff.
Right.
And it's got a little bit of acid in it to help break down all that little inner stuff.
And you cooked them in direct heat, I bet. Not over the grill part,
but off
the side, right? Yeah.
I'm rigged as a smoker at that point.
Right.
Yep. And then I'll turn on a little more radiant heat from the top burner.
Okay.
I've got one of those lid burners.
Yep.
Just after I've wrapped it, just to turn it into an oven now.
Okay. Yep. And if you're looking, you're not cooking, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what the probe's for.
I spent some money and got a probe.
Right. Yep. That's what it's for.
Give me a little distance. I'm a one-man show, so I got to make the potato salad, too.
Yeah. Yep. I get it. You're a tater guy. I see pictures of the stuff that you make, and there's always a side of taters somewhere.
Well, my granddad, he raised taters when we were growing up, and that was one of the things in the fall, is you had to go out, and the uncles and my dad were turning them with a fork, and us kids, I have to pick them up, put them on in the crates, put them on the wagon that Grandpa was towing around with the tractor.
Right, yep. So, Tim, you had a clan up at your place up north. What was the fare for Memorial Day for you guys?
Memorial Day actually was a little bit different because we came home early. So
okay.
We had a big breakfast.
Oh, nice.
And then later we just headed home early.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But before that, then we had steaks off our local American Wagyu.
Oh, yeah.
So we did some
ribs. We'll talk about that. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah. Rib steaks too, because that was that's going to be my next question on as we go into the next segment is we're going to talk to different proteins. We're going to hit some beef, some pork, some fish and fowl. And, I just wonder, I'm going to tip you guys off is what's your favorite cut and why on all of those, because it's, you know, when you go to the meat market, if you've not been to Sobey Meats, they're over on Remembrance Drive on the northwest side of Grand Rapids. First of all, you're missing it. You got to go. But, secondly, you walk in there, and if you've not been to a true professional meat market, you're going to be a little overwhelmed because there's so many beautiful cuts of meat laying right there in front of you going, buy me,
and
buy
me. So many happy faces going, can I help you?
Yeah, right. Yep. And you can take a number, but you really don't need to because they're whipping through those as fast as you can count. And they just do it to make sure that you don't lose your turn in line is all that is. But there's it's crazy good. And we'll talk more about that during the show. But, you know, I went yard bird on Memorial Day. We had the whole family over. And I am a giant fan of skinless, boneless thighs. This time I didn't have the skinless, boneless. I had skin on, bone in. And it just took a little bit longer, as it always does, because the last thing I ever want to do is have my daughter-in-law cut that first bite off that thigh and there's blood along the bone and she'll get up and leave the table, right? I mean, she just it just turns her right off. And she's polite and she doesn't. That's figuratively speaking, she doesn't leave, but you can see her lose her appetite right in front of you, right? So and it's delicate. Thighs are pretty durable, right? I mean, I got that one. I take those to like 175, 180 with the meat probe in there just to make sure. And you got to keep flipping them because I've got that Tech, which is an infrared grill. And that thing, even on low, sends a lot of heat up through there. And, you know, presentation, I've always said you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your mouth third, right? I don't want them black. I want them to look good. I want some grill marks on there that are darker than the rest of it. So you got to fuss with it a little bit rather than the skinless, boneless thighs I always smoke, right? And those go easy. But so the thighs came out good, did some vegetable sides, you know, that does. Everybody's loving asparagus right now. It's in season. So I just put a little zesty Italian dressing on that and threw it in a Ziploc baggie for a half hour to let it coat up the stuff and pull it out of there, throw it on the grill, roll it around a couple times, and it was chicken and asparagus, man. It was good.
Yeah,
it was
really asparagus, good. I like it when you pick up the tongs and it just wiggles on both ends.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, right.
Don't overcook it.
Yeah, you don't want it to be like spaghetti. That's not a good way to go. So coming up next, we're going to hit the beef window, Tim. That's about a third of your meat that is in the case, maybe a quarter. And I want to run up and down those trays and see what we got. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Protein Show. We've got Chaz and Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, and I'm Jop. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Some of the stuff that goes on between the segments is as good as the segment. I mean, maybe even better, one could say, especially when Conrad doesn't have a microphone.
Someday we'll publish a behind-the-scenes video.
The bloopers.
Right. But anyway, yeah. So, Tim, we're talking about the meat market today and all the proteins that we can put on the grill. And I'm going visually down from closest to your office to the closest to the cash registers. And we start there on that right end when you walk in is all the beef.
Yep.
And so what's going on in the beef market? All food is crazy escalated in price right now. And I know that you do the best you can to give everybody a value when they walk in, and you always accomplish that. But what's going on in the beef world, and then what do you see that's selling good right now?
The beef world is just crazy right now, and it's at price ends out of control, and I don't see any real end like coming up. Okay, if we can make it a month, things are going to drop back down. It's just, I think they're just trying to keep those prices up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. We got our Sobey Sizzler that we've talked about that before, which is a Terrace Major, actually out of the front shoulder.
Okay.
But that is a beautiful, beautiful cut. Flavor-wise, is about as good as anything. Maybe it doesn't have the juice that a ribeye would.
Right.
You know, I'm still a ribeye guy as well. But if you were to put that up against like a tri-tip or sirloin, you'd do just fine with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. So if you're just tuning in, that this is Tim from Sobey Meats, proprietor, butcher, all around super knowledgeable meat guy. So you're not going to go to your big box store and find that cut, because the butchers don't take the time to sort that out, if you will. It probably ends up in the grinder, being it's up in the front shoulder.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But it's a value piece of meat. Right?
Very valuable.
Right. But super flavorful. And you know what? If you get nothing else from the show today, just listen for tips like that. Because you're going to find, if you want to put beef in front of your family, you're going to walk in, you're going to go, whoa, wow, the price is up. But then, you know, talk to the butcher. And it's not just Tim. He's got a fully educated staff behind the meat counter. And you tell them what you want, and dang it if they won't lead you right to it. Right?
Yep. You know, we got Father's Day right around the corner.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, great grilling day.
A couple weeks away. And the other one, you know, Jop, I've been saying this for a long, long time. In my opinion, I think the sirloin is the most underrated steak on the beef.
Right.
And it's flavorful, tender. It's a standalone steak. You don't have to marinate it like a round steak.
Right.
You know, to try to make a poor man cut into something better.
Right.
And they're just a great, great value.
Yep. And you can grill those. When I make, we made it this week. We had one of those cold nights, and Lisa's like, I want some beef stroganoff. And so it was a sirloin I pulled out of the freezer. And it was, yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, it was wrapped from your place just in the white butcher paper.
Yeah.
And I put it right in the freezer. I didn't vac seal it or anything. And I noticed it'd been in there like 3 months. On full disclosure, I defrosted the freezer and found it. And it was like a little prize.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I told Chaz last week I found 7 packs of walleye I didn't know I had, too. So, but the deep freeze, you know, big chest freezer, and it gets full, and you tend to eat off the top, and stuff, you know, floats its way to the bottom. But anyway, so, it you know, that the meat wrap, it was 3 months. It wasn't freezer burnt at all, but those deep freezers don't raise temperature, right? They hold temperature solid. But anyway, so that was a great cut. And we diced it up, and then just put it in a little olive oil and some garlic, and then made the rest of the stroganoff right in that pan.
And one last thing about the sirloin, it's a great value anyways. And as Teresa always says, cook once, eat twice.
Yeah.
So do extra, take the leftovers, maybe do some a little bit less done anyways.
Okay.
And strip that down and make, whether it's beef fajitas or stir fry or something like that.
Ooh, yeah.
So you've already got that grill flavor on there.
Yep.
As you warm it up, eat the stuff that's a little bit more done first.
Yep.
So there's that grilling tip. Put some on first. Wait a few minutes. Maybe after one flip, put the others on. So it's going to be less done, but it'll come off at the same time.
Yeah.
I like to grill that extra steak and then slice it the next day for a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The horseradish, a little good bread. You don't even need to reheat the meat.
Right, yeah. Yep.
A little bloody, man. I'm all good.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right, yeah. Super tasty. Super tasty. But, Chaz, what's your favorite steak, man?
Usually I'm a thick-cut ribeye guy.
Yeah?
I mean, thicker than most. I mean, I'm the guy that calls Tim ahead and says, hey, I need some one-inchers because I want it to look really manly out there on the steak. As it's grilling, I want to be able to put some real sear marks to it and stuff. And still hold it at medium, medium rare.
Right.
And give me some marble in there, baby. I want time for it to melt. They get that fat just oozing out of it and stuff. And all I need to do is put a little pepper on there.
Right. If you're looking at us, we're testament to fat is flavorful. Because we are flavorful guys.
Well, we have X's in our shirt sizes.
Right, yeah.
And when you said the A-team, I was thinking we beat anorexia. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Every day we beat that up, yeah. But anyway, so Tim, what do you see the most people buy for steaks at the shop?
Probably overall pounds. Probably the Sobey Sizzler is probably one of them.
Yeah.
A higher end. We go through a lot of ribeyes and a lot of strips.
Right.
But every week, the local beef that we get, of course, there is the T-bone porterhouse, the bone-in ribeyes, or we'll save those for tomahawks.
Right.
They always go through. So.
Right. So if somebody doesn't know, why would these be these higher-end steaks? Is it just the marbling, or is it it's where it comes from on the animal, too, right?
Yeah, it's both. And the flavor of the beef... That American Wagyu, as they call it. So the Wagyu beef, you know, the Japanese beef.
Right.
This is, it's basically a half breed.
Okay.
So they take the straws from a purebred Wagyu bull, artificially inseminated domestic cow, and it's a cross. It's a half breed.
And what does that generate?
That generates some of the qualities of the Wagyu, which is the marbling in there. And there's even a different smell and taste when you eat it.
Okay.
It's really pretty cool. The fat is more of a silky, buttery quality in your mouth than like a greasy fat.
Right. And very flavorful.
Very, very flavorful, yep.
Right, yeah. So that tomahawk steak, people are afraid of those a little bit. It takes a lot of grill space, first of all. And basically what it is it's about half of that rib bone is left on that steak. Is that accurate, or is it?
Other places do it that way. Ours, there's seven rib bones on a beef.
Right.
We leave each one separate. So we'll only get 7 true tomahawks off a side of beef.
So those come out pretty thick, then.
They're about 2.5 inches thick.
Yeah.
And it's a roast on a stick is what it is.
Yeah. So,
they might weigh 2.5 pounds.
Wow. So, and what I want to do, because that's a showpiece. In my world, right? I mean, if you're cooking tomahawk steaks for your guests, they're pretty special people. Because first of all, a 2.5 pound chunk of meat, you're going to, you know, split that or three-way that with your guests. So you want it cooked right. But when we come back, because we're running near the end of the segment here, I want to talk about how to cook that. Because I know, Chaz, you've cooked them before. Tim, you certainly have. I don't have a ton of experience with them because it's usually just Lisa and I. right? But at the end of the day, I'd like to talk about that because that is something that I think Father's Day would be a really cool thing to do, right? You got a dad, my man piece of meat, and that'd be good to do. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're coming up next with a little bit of pork, but we're going to finish the beef first, so stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. If you just tuned in, we were talking about cuts of beef with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. And I wanted to finish this real quick. Chaz, I'll start with you. This tomahawk steak, Tim, it's a ribeye, right?
Yep.
Two and a half inches thick because you got seven bones and you've got seven steaks. Right across that full rib of that cow. So you get one of these, it's a spectacle on the grill, right? But take it from there, Chaz.
Yeah, you're going to want to get your grill up to temp first.
Okay.
And don't start with the cold steak.
Okay.
Warm that steak up because you don't want to shock it. You got a lot of inches of meat there to get the heat through. You want to get it through slowly, but don't have frost in the middle, man. That just kills the day.
Or don't take it out of the fridge and throw it right on the grill. Set it on the counter for an hour.
Put a little salt, a lot of pepper.
Right.
Put it on there, let it set on the plate. That'll keep any cooties off it and stuff. Then we're going to put it on nice, clean, grate.
Okay.
Because you spend a lot of money on this chunk of meat. You're looking for the perfect show. Right. You want the perfect grill marks on this baby. So be really cautious as you're handling this thing. And be fancy about your 90-degree grill marks.
Well, you got a bone, so you go 10 and 2. Right? Yeah, right.
But think about these things as you're getting ready. And put a little bit of oil on the grates because you're not going to have this thing at nuclear temperature. You're going to have it at a medium, maybe medium high. Put it on there. You're going to hear the sizzle roar because that marbling's just going to start crackling just a little bit. And always remember that, you know, protein will release when it's done.
Yeah.
So if it's sticking to the grill, you're more sippy-sippy, as Tim says.
Right, yeah. Before you flippy-flippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And use your thermometer.
Yeah.
Okay? And use your thermometer and piece of meat that big in a couple of spots.
Yep.
You can't just trust one corner because you might have a hot spot.
Right.
Everybody's grill's a little different.
And it's going to cook a little slower up against the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it'll out on the end of the steak will get done before it does up by the bone. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's the physics of the piece of meat.
And if you got multiple burners, you know, you're not cooking with charcoal and you got multiple burners, you can control that a little bit. If you're cooking with charcoal, like my brother says, shove it over to one side.
Right.
Make you your hot spot where you know you need a little more heat.
Right.
And also, that gets the convection going in that. If you're cooking the old Weber kettle, if you got a kettle like the big 22 that'll hold a tomahawk.
Right.
I mean, that's what a great way to do it.
Yeah. Awesome.
But limit your flips.
Oh, yeah.
You got four.
Right.
That way you get X marks on both sides.
Right. Yeah, and just watch your thermometer, you know, 125, 130, depending on how you like it done. You take it off, it's going to raise a little bit in temperature after you take it off anyway, and let it set on a board. You don't have to worry about serving your guests from the grill to their plate. There needs to be a cutting board between.
Get the good cutting board and a good knife out.
Right, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you aren't going to hurt it. It's still going to keep the heat, but all that juice, it draws back into the muscle where it when you're got it directly on the heat, it's moving around, and if you cut it, you're going to lose it onto the board.
Yeah, let that molecular reaction slow down.
Right, the science of it.
And make your carving a show.
Sure. Yeah, because you are going to carve it. You're not going to, well, you might for dad, right? But for most of the time, you're going to put that in two or three people's plates, a 2.5-pound piece of meat, right? So the carving is part of it as well. So let's switch gears. Good. Well done, Chaz. Let's switch gears and go to the hog. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's go to the hog. Tim, chops, steaks, roasts. This is the hog, the pig, the pork is one of the better values in the meat market, right? I mean, as far as affordability.
Yes, without a doubt. In the loin, we've talked about that before, right? If it's the boneless pork loin, which is a boneless pork chop, and don't overcook them, you know, just maybe do them to like a 145, and they'll be a little bit juicier on the inside. You'll love them way better.
Mm. We touched on this a little bit last week that, you know, some of the older generation comes from when hogs were raised out in the slop pen and the very unsanitary areas where they might have got some parasites and things. Today's hog run on a factory farm, the real clean, monitored USDA environment. You don't have to cook the ever-loving hell out of them.
Right.
Except a free-range pig. You still have to those. But
yeah.
I agree, Chaz. And you don't have to cook the hell out of them. They come out so much nicer.
Yeah.
And then whatever that dipping sauce is you have, puts a little more juice. It makes a way better eating experience having some juice in
there. That pork loin that you just talked about is a pretty lean piece of meat. It's got a fat cap on it, but generally not a lot of marbling in the meat, right?
Right. Some of the local ones, and we talked about that before too, we had the red wattle pork. Oh, God, that was just beautiful. They were breeding the marbling. It was still that old heirloom breed that had the marbling in, and boy, that was just beautiful stuff.
So I'm going to take a turn because I don't want to forget. I was going to ask you to make me one of these. We've got an event up in the middle of June where I'm entertaining about 100 of our clients, and I need a couple porchettas. And so it's a very unique cut. You're not going to find this in any big box store ever. You need to go to a butcher to make this. So I know you've done them before, so I don't think I'm catching you off guard, but explain what that is, and I'll tell you why I really love them.
So it's a boneless pork loin,
right,
with a belly with skin on, wrapped around it and tied all up. Do you have a rotisserie you're doing that on?
I do.
Okay. If you don't have a rotisserie, you're going to want to flip. You're just kind of keep it rolling because you want that skin to crispen up.
Right.
When you get all done, and obviously there's seasonings that go on the inside, some thyme, some parsley, if you put some rosemary in there, olive oil, and there's extra oil in there to keep it moist.
Right.
But then even the rind and all that is cut up and then kind of served like on a, if you're doing a bruschetta bun or whatever you're putting.
Right.
Brioche
right.
bun.
So that's exactly what you, I've had fennel in it before too, a little bit of fennel. That's a really unique flavor, but I recall that. But what this does is with the rotisserie is your indirect heat, you got a charcoal fire going in, it just rolls and it drips and it drips and it drips because you've got a pork belly, which is the basis of bacon, on the outside of this thing. And you score it, so you get a diamond score on there so that it cooks and renders right really well. But you chop it up when it's done. You got the cracklings on the outside, which is that pork, which is crisped up. It isn't burned, but it's crisped up. So you got that texture, that crispness with the buttery softness of that loin. And we chop it up and mix that stuff all together so it's a pork sandwich with unbelievable flavor, but it's also got a little crunch to it, and it's natural crunch. And it's that whole combination of all of that that's amazing. And I know that you probably don't sell a lot of these because it's not a mainstream thing that people do, but when you serve it to somebody who's never had it before, their reactions are really cool, right? They're like, what in the world is that? That is amazing. And so I'm going to have you make up probably three or four of them so that, and we only got 100 people, and it's not going to feed them all porchetta, but they'll hold in the freezer, right? After you get them wrapped up, and we'll have those throughout the summer because it feeds a lot of people because it's going to be 7, 8, 9 pounds, right? But you do the whole loin with that belly on it, but then also they're spectacle.
The spectacle to watch as you're going along, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because
anything on a rotisserie is a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, Jop, is you've got that new Blackstone.
Mm-hmm.
And for breakfast, for the crew, Tim mentioned he's feeding them up at camp. a flat top like that with some of Tim's breakfast sausage.
Mm.
I mean, that and eggs, cut the carbs, throw the toast away. I'm right there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, pork can be dry because it is lean if you're in the loin. Fat caps on it. Do you sell a lot of chops? Excuse me, I'm eating a meat stick. I'm spitting meat all over the studio. Sorry. Do you sell a lot of chops with it bone in, or is it just
yes.
more? Yeah.
Yep, there are a lot of chops of bone in.
Right. Those are a little different to cook, again, maybe a little bit more because, again, the bone holds.
It's also a lot of fun to watch those little kids eating that, gnawing that thing off the bone.
Yeah.
That makes them into a grilling guy.
Yeah. Right. Little grilling guys.
Yeah, all right. So coming up next, we're going to do a little fish or fowl or whatever it is we want to talk about. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going through the protein show today. Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats is joining us, and Chaz is sitting in for Bob. So we've been having a great conversation. If you're just tuning in, you missed beef, pork, and now we're going to do a little yard bird and fish. And
you can always catch them on the podcast.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We've got one of those, don't we? So you're what? Look at that. I got a little meat on my sleeve.
As you should.
Right. Yeah. I'm talking and eating at the same time. Maybe it's somebody else's turn to talk, right? But anyway, chicken, Tim. This is something that I think is once you get by a burger and a hot dog, the next thing a grilling guy does and tries to perfect is chicken.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me a little bit about the difference between big box chicken and the stuff that you would have in the meat case, excuse me.
Biggest thing is a lot of that, they use different terminologies. It might be broth added or marinated for flavor. Some of those things that if it truly was a marinade, that's a good thing. But those broths, those are bad for you. And the quickest story, I don't believe in those products. And one of our regular gals, she's like, we've got some chicken from a different supplier. We need to add some weight on it. I said, you know what, is it brined? You know, is there a broth added? No, no, no. And she said, I ate that chicken. Even when it was cooked, it tasted like raw chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked on the box, and sure enough, that was a broth added. So obviously, you know, we give people their money back. But when I told my supplier about that, he's like, wow, yeah, I'll never send that to you again. So it'll make a funky taste, and it's not good for you either.
Right, right. Chaz, you do a lot of chicken?
When I can.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to do a full bird for one guy.
Right.
But a lot of times I find, you know, I'll go get quarters, and yep. Hindquarters are my thing to put out there.
Dark meat, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's a little more forgiving. I can have a little more sippy-sippy. Right. While I'm grilling, and, you know, bring them up, and they're still juicy as hell. Mm-hmm. And I really love doing those.
Tim, what sells out of the meat case? What about wings? Are they still crazy expensive?
They're getting back up there. They really dropped for a while, and they're on the rise again. And so think about doing drumsticks sometime.
Right. I know you advocate
the wings.
That.
Yeah.
So, because the drumsticks aren't nearly as expensive as the wings, right?
Right, right. And about a quarter of the cost of wings.
Wow.
Now, I told you before that I bought one of those drumstick hangers.
Right.
It looks like a gimmick on Amazon, but it works.
Really?
Oh, my God. I just set that up on the grill and hang 12 legs on there, and it just does its own thing. It's like self-marinating, dripping down, and just you don't have to turn them or do anything to them. I toss them in a little bit of seasoning, dry seasoning, before I put them on, hang them up, drink a couple beers.
Right. And then they just cook.
They just cook perfect. And after they're cooked, like, you know, Teresa says, cook extra. Man, they peel right off the bone for making whatever the next day.
Right.
Or just to grab a cold chicken leg.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with cold chicken.
Right.
You know, when you're running in and out of the yard and stuff, and I need a bite.
Yeah.
Right. So it's I've seen them. It's a little rectangular rack with some hooks on either side.
Yeah, it's
and
just wire.
Up on the knuckle end, not the big median, but the knuckle end, you just run that hook through there and let them hang. Right? And you're over direct heat because they're not going to burn because
they're up and away
from it.
They're
up and away. They're not on the grate. They're hanging above it on this little rack. Really cool.
And that fat just drips straight down, sizzles straight back up.
Right.
Putting the flavor right back into the chicken.
Yeah, you're getting a little smoky. Little smoky. What kind of chicken do you cook for your family, Tim?
We'll do actually a combination, white and dark meat.
Right.
So if it's boneless breast, I still love chicken on the bone myself.
Mm-hmm.
But so if it's Teresa and I, we usually do the bone in, skin on thighs.
Right.
As we're talking about it, I've yet to do this, but for years and years, Teresa's dad used to do whole birds, like four or five, run them head to butt. Tie them up on a spit and do them on the rotisserie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's nothing like rotisserie chicken, and then you just keep basting as they going mm-hmm. around. So
any number of flavors too that you can baste with whatever profile you like. But
butter,
yeah, right.
Butter can't be wrong. Seasonings, yeah,
right. Yep, can't be wrong at all.
I love to shove a little bit of citrus and herb inside them, and that moisture just cooks out through them and brings the flavor right out through them.
Yeah,
I would as agree. Around the rotisserie.
Like in the breast, shoving some lemon down
hold
in there.
Hold that cavity right up as you're threading them on the rotisserie rod, because my big Weber, I can put five on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when they're done, if you got to go to a different party, you slide them right off into that hot box cooler and go. Grab your big silicone gloves, pull them out, slap down, and start carving at the party. They finish. They're perfect. They're
wonderful. Yeah, right. That's the thing about meat is that once you get it cooked, you can hold it for a while, and it's I always use the term dry cooler, right? Just one of your coolers, not oversized too much, but about the size of whatever it is you're going to put in there, and you just close the lid, and it'll hold there. It's amazing that the coolers are better to keep things hot than they are to keep things cold, and so it just works really, really well.
And a lot of times, I like to preheat it with a little boiling water.
Yep.
Dump the boiling water out, and now I'm not shocking it when I put it in there.
Right, the cooler or the food, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Tim, talk about fish and seafood and maybe some of the other items that you've got. A lot of that is frozen at your shop, and that's the reason is because fresh fish is delicate. And, you know, you're known for your beef, pork, and chicken, but people want shrimp, people want salmon. That you have all of that
scallops,
too, right?
Scallops,
yeah.
And even if it's a lobster tail on the grill. And my brother for a couple of years was in Alaska working in a gold mine, was hauling materials. And
gold, I hope. A little bit for himself. Yeah.
in Alaska, halibut is like their unspoken state fish.
Right.
So
delicate.
Everybody, they rave about what they do with halibut. And so he's like, hey, can you get fresh? Which we could, but they catch it on Monday. They'll pack ship on Tuesday. It get down here on a Wednesday. We get it on a Thursday. You get it on a Friday. That fresh fish is still 5 days old.
Right.
So in Michigan, it's still better to get a frozen product.
Sure.
It's still a fresher fish.
Yeah.
But, you know, and if you end up using foil, or use that plank.
Right.
So you don't have to flip it.
Right.
And even scallops, you know, they can be delicate too on a grill.
Yep.
So make sure you oil that up. But scallops and shrimp are phenomenal on a grill.
Right. Yeah. A little
surf and turf.
Skewer that thing if you want to cook them on the side. You don't need a lot of seasoning on seafood at all because it stays on top. It generally doesn't absorb in. So you don't want a real heavy profile. And the seafood flavors are delicate. Usually, and so you want that to be there, not just all seasoning when you're taking a bite of it.
And I would agree, it's easy to crush it with seasoning.
So you got to go easy on that. But Scallops is an underutilized protein in my world.
Well, we don't live that close to them.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you don't think about it. Yeah.
We go out and get some bluegill and walleye.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and evidently, I don't eat enough walleye. When I found 7 bags of it in my freezer, I didn't know I had. But we're eating it now, so that's a good thing. Yeah, it kept well, too. But anyway, so, Tim, where can people find you?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Okay. You just had a little anniversary, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, let's see here. So yesterday, Friday the 31st, was our 20th anniversary. So 20 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they said we wouldn't make it. So it's been quite phenomenal.
So there again, what do they know?
Yeah.
Right? The theys don't. Well, I tell you why you made it, okay? A lot of hard work, huge passion, but you have a love for your customers. And unlike any store I've ever been in, and I'm not blowing smoke, it's amazing when you put a little bell by the door. What a simple idea. But you put a little bell by the door, and those of us that are regulars know right where it's at. It's not prominent. You got to look for it. But when you walk over there and you jingle that bell, every person that works in that store stops whatever they're doing for a second and says, thank you. Okay? Tell me where you go and shop that ever happens. Right? And it isn't Pavlov's dog, ring the bell, they react. Okay? They truly mean it. And they say thank you when you're picking out your meat, when they hand it to you, when you're paying for it. Tim's sister works at the cash register. I get a hug. That's the reason that I go, I don't really like your meat, and I don't care about the service, but I get Pat's hug.
That's right.
I go sneak in to get one from Teresa.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Well, that's his wife. I didn't want to go there. I can talk about his sister. I can't talk about his wife. We're friends. No, but I'm kidding. No, everybody's hug. But my sincerely, wonderful, wonderful atmosphere.
Thank you very much.
Yep, and 3450 Remembrance Drive Northwest, right?
Yep.
Right in Walker. All right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Tim, thanks for joining us, and we appreciate your time, and we love what you do.
Yeah, glad to be here, and thanks too, Chaz.
Hey, thanks for the meat sticks.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.